We know that a lot of people face difficulties and challenges in life, and we've been working on a series, Living Through the Test. Living Through the Test. I know that young people, they can relate to it because the test means that you have to show what you know. Isn't that right? So you've got to be able to recall some of the things that you've been given. You've got to bring that back forth, and you've got to say, this is not only who I am, but this is what I do. Today, as I invite you into the passage of Scripture where Jesus was being tested, it's going to help us to understand more about what we face in life and how we can deal with it effectively. More what we face in life and how we can deal with it effectively. We're seeing some things now in our life and in our world that it's unsettling. It's unsettling. We're seeing things in this nation that it is really causing us to question whether or not we know what we're doing. Ladies and gentlemen, you only have one chance at life. You only have one chance. Whether it be a politician or whether it be an individual that's working day after day, you only have one chance at life. And you will fail unless you know and understand what your calling is and what your purpose is. With that in mind, I want to invite you to Luke chapter 4 and verses 3 and 4 for our scripture text. And I'm going to go ahead and give you the topic before you stand up. Today we're going to be talking about a bread maker's big mistake. A bread maker's big mistake. Luke 4, verses 3 and 4. Then the devil said to him, if you are the Son of God, command this stone to become bread. And Jesus answered him, it is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. Thus ends the reading of God's holy word, a bread maker's big mistake. What is it that the bread maker is doing that we would say, that's a mistake? You may be seated. Father, we pray you'd bless us now as only you can. Help us to understand and discern what you would teach us and what you would have us to know. As always, Lord, we pray that you change us by what we hear and that you would indeed change us for the good. We pray this in Jesus' name and for his sake. And all the believers said, amen. So why are we facing tests? Why do we go through these seasons of tribulation or what we might call struggle? Why is it that God would even allow such a thing to happen to his children if we are indeed the children of God? Interesting question. That's the same question that the devil posed at Jesus. He said, if you are the Son of God, challenging him to make sure that he knew his identity. And what's strange about this is that God allowed this test of his beloved son. God allowed those tests that you're going through in your life and what I'm going through in my life. God allows it, but not only does he allow it, God is with you. You see, what the devil didn't count on is that Jesus was going through the wilderness and not just to the wilderness. He wasn't counting on Jesus to come out with the full power of God. His challenge was to break Jesus down. But God was building him up in the Word, teaching him, because we understand that not only was he spiritually the Son of God, he was also human. 100% human. He had a body just like you and I. He went through all of the challenges just like you and I. And yet he faced it without sin. So he was being tested. You as a Christian, you're being tested. Every day of your life, you have to stand up and make sure that you know your identity in God. Now, here's the thing that we have to understand. You having God's faith and the faith that He has anointed you with is not just to bring you to the problem, but for you to get past the problem. Everybody say, get past the problem. And you got to know the challenge. You got to understand exactly what it is that you're facing. Listen to what it says in 1 Corinthians 10:13. When we go through problems, here's what the Bible says. No temptation has seized you that people don't normally experience, or that you've not encountered, or someone else has not encountered. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tested above that which you are able, but will, with the temptation, also make a way of escape, so that you and I may be able to bear it. To put it in the old folks' term, the Lord ain't gonna put no more on you than what you can bear. I know many of us have experienced that. So the test is to show God's faithfulness in you. And when Jesus faced the test, it was to show and demonstrate that, yes, He was the Son of God. Because notice, He did not respond the devil's way. He said, "It is written." This was the very Word of God. Jesus is the fullness of God, and He is the Word of God that was with God from the beginning. But now He's in a body. Now He's expressing what the Lord has said in His holy Word. What an awesome thing. What I want you to do today is to be equipped and learn how to think past the problem. You got to look at your challenge not as something that's come to destroy you, but to help you think past it. We always say there's a bright side somewhere, right? Well, guess where it's at? On the other side of that problem. And the Lord's counting on you to get through it. Jesus had fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, and He had been there in the wilderness, but also God was with Him. The Holy Spirit led Him. The Holy Spirit didn't say, "Oh, Jesus, you go in the wilderness, I'll wait until you get back." God's Spirit was with Jesus. And what I want to comfort you with is the fact that God is with you. Say that with me. God is with me. Doesn't that feel good? God is with me. Yes, I'm facing struggle. And no, God may not change it right now, but God is with me. What a wonderful, wonderful thought that God is on our side. Now, as we consider struggles and trials, we also have to look at it as a training process. You know, having dealt with corporate America in different positions that I've had in my lifetime, I can think of no good company that did not train its employees. Some of you have experienced that when you go on your job. They will have a certain thing about orientation and training so that you can be developed in your job. No one goes into a position of responsibility without being prepared. The Army and the military has what's called resilience training. Resilience training. And I was doing some research when I left church on last Sunday. You know, we look at the Navy SEALs and we look at all of these people who've had important positions, the Rangers and all the folks that have served to actually do hard work. But the biggest challenge was training the mind. Training and understanding what needed to be done in the event of an emergency, how to respond instead of reacting. You look at a lot of what people do today, and I'm going to take my time with this. They react rather than respond. The devil wanted Jesus to react. "Jesus, you're hungry. Take this stone and make it into bread." Simple request. Easy one for Jesus to do. But yet He said, "I'm not going to do that. It is written." You got to go by the plan. Look at somebody, tell them, "I got to go by the plan." The plan of God is not for you to take everything that comes into your life and just blow up, react, do the wrong thing, make the wrong choice. And I'm going to go as far to say, that's the reason why you got some of the problems you got. You reacted. You know, what happens if I get upset? Well, I'm just going to go get me a bottle of wine and solve that problem. You might not want to do that. That's the old way. That's the way of the world. That's the way, you know, that the world deals with it. Just get sedated. Numb yourself. And I might even go as far as to say some people are dumbing themselves. They don't want to know. And they don't care. Not so with the child of God. You've got to care about everything that you face. So, as we look at this, if Jesus had responded to the devil's way, he would have been making what I call some hard bread. Some of you have made some hard bread following the world's recipe. Yeah, let's just do this. Let's just live for the day, don't worry about tomorrow, and we'll settle everything as we go through it. So what constitutes hard bread? First thing that you got to look at is, if you make a decision based on your appetite, you're not going to satisfy your soul. A lot of people are basing their decisions, things that they do, well, I just feel like it. I'm going to tell you something. Your feelings will get you in trouble. The devil's saying, hey, Jesus, you're feeling hungry, which was a real physical need. I'm not telling you that you need to diminish what you feel sometimes. If you get hit, you hurt. Something happens, it breaks your heart. It bothers you. You're troubled by it. But you cannot respond based on the way you feel. You've got to research and make sure that the decision you are about to make is one that will honor God. Which brings us to the second thing that will make for some hard bread. Following the devil's suggestion. You know those thoughts that kind of pop in your mind? Somebody step on your toe, you kick them. Or if they've done something to you, you get back at them. Is that our way? Or is that God's way? Following the devil's suggestion. And Jesus, he knew who it was that was tempting him. And you ought to know when you're being tempted. You ought to know when you're being drawn away from what you really ought to be doing, what you know is your assignment. You ought to know when you're being pulled. You get that tug. You just get that emotion that says, hey, I'm going to react this way, even though I know it's contrary to what I ought to be doing. Before Jesus went into the wilderness, his Father had identified him. And every one of you that, as the choir sung, have been baptized, you said you confess faith in Christ, God has identified you. It's not where you just identified with God. God identified with you. If anyone be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. So if you're a child of God, why listen to the devil? Why follow his strategy when you know it's going to lead you further and further away from what God said you ought to do? As Jesus stepped into that wilderness, I believe it represented two things in the Bible. Because if you know, the first temptation that happened in the Bible was over food. First struggle that they had was over food. And here's the problem. Here's the thing I have to deal with. Adam and Eve were already well fed. But God said, from the tree of knowledge you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat thereof, you shall surely die. So what's the thing that they got enticed to do? Get some food. Not just from where God says get some food. Well, let's go over here to this tree over here, because that's the one we can't eat from, and that's the one we want to eat from.
enticed. So when Jesus stepped into the wilderness, what Adam and Eve had done, which brought a curse upon the whole human race, Jesus stepped into the wilderness, since that's the food test that got us in trouble. Let me pass the test so I can be on my way to get us out of trouble. Are y'all listening? Be careful what your stomach tells you just because it's growling. Are y'all listening? Just because you feel like you ought to be doing, if you know that you have blood pressure problem, why in the world did you want pork chop? Food issues. Appetites. But the second thing that Jesus represents as he steps into the wilderness and having fasted 40 days, that was also a representation of Israel. Remember their journey? On the way to the promised land. On their way to the place where God wanted them to be. And guess what they got hit with? A food test. God gave them manna. And guess what they said? We're getting tired of this light bread. Lord have mercy. Y'all better be glad I wasn't God. Amen. I'm glad I'm not God. Here they were in the wilderness. God is nourishing them. Their feet don't swell. They don't get cramps. That manna had everything they needed to not only satisfy their need, but to get them through the wilderness. Watch this. Watch this. You're not going to stay in the wilderness, so why in the world do you want Burger King on every corner? Right? The problem that you're in right now, you're not going to stay in that problem. Either God's going to take you through it or take you out of it. Are y'all here? Why in the world are you saying, I want all of this and I want all of that? In other words, you're going to get through it. Amen. Be patient. Do the will of God. Speak to the problem and say, you know what? You will not be my Lord because I already got one. We said on last Sunday, you better know who you are before you get in the wilderness, because the devil's going to put you to a test and make you doubt. Children of Israel, every corner that they turned, on their way to the promised land, a land that flowed with milk and honey, some of them never got there because they had food issues. Appetite. Following that rather than following God. I made a couple of notes here that I think is good for us to understand. The problem comes in this life, when what we're trying to do is to justify making bread versus making a life. That's the problem. You've heard people say, well, man, I got to work. Yeah, you do have to work. Yeah, working is better than stealing. Yeah, working is better than begging. But your job cannot become your God. Are y'all still here? I have missed so many things spiritually because I allowed my employment to dictate to me, well, you got to do this. Oh, it's getting quiet up in here. But I've noticed that when people place a priority on material things, they're minimizing the spiritual things. Not to say that you should not have that job. Not to say you should not have gainful employment. That's what God wants you to do. But don't make it your God. Young people, you're on your way to a career. I started to say you're on your way to hard times, but no. You're going to school, you're going to learn, you're going to try to get the best grades possible, because when you graduate, the next thing that happens to you, you want to be able to say, hey, I'm either going to further my education or I'm going to get a J-O-B. I can tell you that the job ain't all that it's cracked up to be. How many of y'all young people work some part-time jobs? There is a hand. Okay. Some of you know what I'm talking about. Number one, they ain't going to pay you what you want, right? No. And the other thing about it is that when we honor God, God always honors us. There's such thing called promotion. I'd rather be promoted spiritually than to have all the things of this world. Are you listening to me? Three issues came up when Jesus was in the wilderness, and I'm going to work through these in my last couple of minutes. The first issue that will cause you to be having hard bread is the issue of priority. Priority says, what's most important in my life? The devil's question was not just something, hey, Jesus, let me just check you out and see what you're all about. The devil was really asking Jesus, what is the priority of your life? Why did you come to this wilderness? Hey, Jesus, you hungry? See that stone? Turn it into bread. And Jesus let the devil know right off the bat, here is my priority. I'm going to listen to what God has said, and I'm going to obey what he told me. It is written, man, look at this, man shall what? Not. Man shall not. Now, I don't know, some of y'all teachers, y'all can help me out. That's a contraction. That not is not? Okay. Well, it's not then. Man shall not, well, you ain't supposed to do it anyway, live by bread alone. Didn't say you didn't need bread. Didn't say that bread wouldn't help you. But if you have bread alone, and what Jesus was saying, let me just play this thing out. If I turn the stone into bread, it's still not going to satisfy the need of my life. Yes, I'm hungry. When you get in the middle of a problem, yes, you're hurting. Yes, you're going through some pain. But guess what? You're not living based on a temporary need. You want to look at what will really satisfy all of your need. And the Bible tells us that it's God who meets all of our need according to what? His riches in glory. In other words, Jesus was saying, I got something else I can eat right now. My priority is to do the will of God Almighty. As the children of Israel were going through the wilderness, they kept saying to Moses, Moses, we need this, we need that. Rather than being satisfied with the presence of God, they always wanted something else because it never satisfied. So placing a priority on God first, then the Lord will tell you what other things you need to do that can be added to your life. Second thing that they dealt with was the fact of preparation. It was the issue of preparation. The devil was saying to Jesus, you don't even know who you are, do you? And the devil will test you. Do you really know if you're a child of God? Let me tell you what's going to happen. First time you do something wrong, first time you sin, especially after you stood up in front of the church, confessed to everybody, I love Jesus, but all of a sudden now you've done something wrong, and the devil will tell you, you're not a child of God. How many of y'all had that to happen? Doubt settles in. Now you're saying to yourself, well, if I'm a child of God, well, why did I do that? Why did I lose my temper? You know, why did I cuss that person out when I knew better? Let me tell you something. You're still living in a body. And you're becoming more like Christ, but Paul says you haven't reached that goal yet. That's why we got a theme as we're raising the standard. Because until you reach that goal, you're going to struggle with this body. And when I say body, I don't necessarily mean this flesh and blood. I'm talking about that flesh nature. You still remember what you used to do. All right? But may I tell you that the blood of Jesus has cleansed you from all unrighteousness? May I tell you that now he dwells in you? And the proof that you are a child of God is that when you do wrong, you are convicted. And when you're convicted, you'll say, Lord, I didn't want to do that. I don't know what it was. Please forgive me. That's proof that you're a child of God. So what the devil is trying to get you to doubt, you already got it. Going back to Adam and Eve, how in the world could you give the people anything if they had everything. And that's because Satan wanted them to go against the will of God. Your preparation in life is to make you strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. I want some of you to walk out of here today having the same problem, but I want you to square your shoulders. I want you to hold your head up. I want you to go out of here with a smile, not that frown. Listen, loose that brow. Get those wrinkles out of your brow, because you're worrying about something that God has already solved. You got to be prepared. And what the devil didn't know is that while he was throwing temptations at Jesus, Jesus was taking the temptations and doing this with it. I'm getting stronger. I'm getting wiser. I know more because I've been through the test. Let me ask you a question. How many of you all have studied for a test? And I mean, you really studied. You read the chapter. You got everything down pat. As a matter of fact, you could not wait until you got into that place where the teacher would put the questions out before you because you had studied. How many? Oh, some of y'all wait until the night before. Let me tell you something. Before you go into the wilderness, God gives you a cheat sheet. All the questions that you'll ever be asking in life, it's right here. And when you go into the test, guess what else? If you can't read the cheat sheet, the Holy Spirit will whisper in your ear, here's what you ought to do. It's not cheating. It's called overcoming. Now listen, when y'all get into real testing, that don't expect that, okay? And certainly don't do like I used to do in school, get close to a smart person. Pull my desk right up at there. Miss Bailey, she would always see through it. She'd always know what I was doing. She said, you better get back over there before I put you in the corner. Being prepared. You can tell, and it's evidence in our country, that there are a lot of people who want power, but they don't want preparation. I'm not going to get political, even though I could. You got to be prepared, because what this life is all about is not about getting. It's about giving. What I'm challenging you to do is you put on Christ, and as you put on the responsibility of walking with Him, is not only to get through your test, but get prepared in the test. Learn your priorities in the test. And then lastly, you got to ask the question, who's going to get the praise? Last thing I pose to you, when the devil put that before Jesus, it was really a question also about praise. Hey, Jesus, do you want to be a bread maker? You know, just turn some stones into bread. Now, of course, that would have been a miraculous ministry, right? But it would not have been God's ministry. Ladies and gentlemen, we didn't need more loaves of bread. We needed a Savior. And if the devil could have gotten Jesus, just turn that first one. Crowds would have showed up. Then he watched Jesus turn this stone into bread. This is not a game show. This is not where you're called to come on down, get what you need. The price is right. That's what the devil was trying to tell Jesus. Hey, the price is right. You can do it. Jesus said, no, I know my mission. My Father sent me to save souls, not make bread. Everything that you do in life will ultimately lead to the praise of God or to the honor of yourself. You got to think about it. And I'm going to tell you something. Life is not worth the living if all you're going to do is build a golden calf to yourself. Let me say that again. Life is not worth the living if all that you plan to do is to build a golden calf to yourself. We got too many self-worshiping people in this nation, and what we need is God's people. We need some children of God who will stand up and unequivocally say, for God I'll live and for God I will die. So it's a praise issue. Who are you going to praise? Who will you give honor to? And Jesus said, I'm going to honor my Father because I know that it is written. When he said it is written, he said, God told me. That's really another way of saying, here's what God told me to do. Now, you can follow the recipe of the world. You can follow the recipe of the world. What does the recipe say? Hey, you got a whole lot of lotteries out here. You might win one. Y'all remember when you have to go down to the convenience store, the corner store, to get a ticket? You don't have to leave your house. Just pull up your phone. You got an app that you can cast your bet. Let me tell you something. I'm too stingy. I lost $2 in a poker game back in Seymour Johnson Air Force Base in the military, and that was in 1972. And I said, never again will I put my money up and not know if I'm going to get it back. Amen, somebody. I learned a hard lesson. Are you going to take the risk? Or are you going to rely on something that is sure? And that's to trust God. So what I'm challenging you with today as I close my message, not only be prepared, use your challenge, use that test as an opportunity to be prepared. Not only is it to help you to have real priorities in life, I don't know where some people's priorities are. I really don't. And it's a sad thing where everybody in this country doesn't really, if you don't have some real priorities. I grew up at a simple time. You take care of your family, help your neighbor, live for God, everything's going to be all right. Not necessarily in that order. I grew up in that simple time. Now it's different. Now it's different. But I came to help you today. And I came to close with this one comment. Wherever you put God, that's where God's going to put you. If you put him last, folks that's listening online, hear me please. I know that a lot of y'all saying, well, I ain't going to church because of COVID. Yeah, we still have some COVID. Yeah, we still have some flu and all of this other stuff. But you need to worship God in your home, and you need to make sure that you're making him the priority of your life. Because when you needed a Savior, God made you his priority. When Jesus was going through the wilderness, he thought about you and didn't think about himself. When the devil told him, stumble, fall down, give up, Jesus said, no, I'm going to press on because I got millions of people depending on me. When they nailed him to the cross, he could have forced the nails out of his hands, but he said, no, I'm going to bear it because I'm bearing somebody's sin. Are y'all with me? When they buried him in the grave, Jesus didn't have to stay in the grave 3 days. He said, but no, I'm going to wait until my Father tells me to get up from here. Oh, but on that third day, he got up from the grave with all power in his hands to show us that he is the Son of God, to let us know that he lives and he reigns today. My question to you, do you trust him? Do you lean on him? Do you know he's walking with you? Do you know he's talking with you? Do you know how much he loves you? This same Jesus. I got to go to my seat. But if you're struggling today, if you're going through the wilderness today, hold on. Just a little while longer, and everything is going to be all right. If you don't have anything to hold on to, let me make a suggestion. Hold to his hand, his unchanging hand, and he'll lead you, he'll keep you, he'll direct you, and he'll make sure that you're going to get through it. Look at somebody, tell him, I'm going to get through this. I'm going to get through this. I'm going to get through this. He didn't bring me this far to leave me now.
I'm going to get through this. I may have to cry, but I'm going to get through this. I'm going to hold my head up. I'm going to give God the glory because he brought me this far. And he's going to lead me all the way. I'm done. I'm finished. I'm done. But oh, when I think about the goodness of the Lord and all that he's done for me, my soul cries out hallelujah. Thank God for saving me. Doors of the church are open. No, I ain't gonna be no bread maker. I'm gonna be a child of God. I ain't gonna be no bread maker. I'm not gonna waste my time making bread when I can eat God's daily bread. Why I'm gonna make it? Everybody stand. Y'all about to get me happy up in here. I'm just gonna teach you a little bit. But hadn't he been good to you? Didn't he bring you from a long way? Didn't he keep you a long time? And the journey is not over yet. It's not over yet. Hallelujah. If there be one today, anyone that needs Christ, if you're online, I know you can't come in here, but you can drop us a line, crossroadbc.com, pastor@crossroadbc.com. Let us know, and we'll try to help you get on the right way of serving God. But we're a people of praise. We're not just anybody. We are a people of praise. If God can't get the praise out of his church, who else can he go to? Yeah. I know he's got angels. Don't get me wrong. I know he's got archangels. I know he's got all of that. He's got the entire universe. But then again, he's got some saved folk. God's got some folk that have the Spirit. We ought to give him praise. We ought to give him glory. If there's one, I promise you, I got my Bible under my arm. I'm going to my seat. But if there's one, I invite you to come. Open your heart to Jesus and know that he went through that wilderness for you and for me. He did it all just for us. What does the song say? Jesus just paid it all. Oh, all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, but oh, he washed it white as snow. Yes, Jesus paid it all. Oh, all to him I owe. My sin had left a crimson stain, but he washed me white as snow. Yes! Don't shout! Shout unto God! Yes, Lord! Thank you.